Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
at noon. Show number 1168. Welcome as we attempt to recover. Forgive our late start. Sometimes the gremlins ain't the fault. Sometimes it's the simple fact that I can't get up because this thing has been bothering me for the last few weeks. But we are recovering. Anyway, welcome to Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael O'Singham. And as always, it is good to be with you. Our show proudly sponsored by BASN Newsroom. All the brothers, all the assassins, the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how of things. And you can check us out at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the brothers who may be chiming in from the Brother Man Network, Reggie, out in Richmond, Virginia. Rick Hampton in Detroit, host of the African American Athlete Show, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. And as my brother Gary is sliding in, Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, host of Pro Talk, does good stuff for the Minor Football League as executive on the Rochester Chargers, and he has his own channel, Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, where he hosts his own blog talk special. Anyway, with me, as always, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
Well, man, you okay over there, right?
Oh, I'm still all right. I'm kicking. Just, they're trying to kill my black ass.
Do what we do first, as we always do.
Yes, sir. Always.
Always do this first.
Okay.
For almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, we are. Go ahead.
Michael, this brother, I guess, on my show, in about an hour, this brother has gone up against Donald Trump. Fired from the committee of Donald Trump 3 years ago. Okay?
Yes.
So this brother knows what he's talking about. Right? This guy is trying to undermine the United States completely. Donald J. Trump is trying to undermine the United States. He is following the book, of Mein Führer in 1928-45.
Yep.
He's playing every card that he can play. Now, it's very interesting that the past 3 days, the COVID virus came into the West Wing of the White House. The COVID virus has gotten there, and now these fools are not wearing masks. What's wrong with these idiots?
Look, as far as this COVID virus is concerned, I have always had misgivings about it. When people, what some people would think are conspiracy theories, they're not taken seriously.
No.
We have for a long time known or at the very least not known, felt in our gut that something was not right with the pattern of black and brown folks existing juxtaposed with white people's desire to allow that to happen. And of course, when you go too far, they say, well, you're crazy. They say it because they're scared, because they don't want to go in that direction of thinking. But let's be real about this. I know I've played it at least 20 times, probably more, clip from the movie Executive Action, where they where data was available, and that they were going to have the methodology in which to do this. You know, they took a turn with that, an obvious turn with that, with AIDS and Ebola in the 1980s. Not because I want to be right, not because you couldn't imagine human beings wanting to kill other human beings, but because it's true. There is a book called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, written by one Jeffrey Horowitz. We've actually played some of Dr. Horowitz over the years, and he has made the claim that working for the government, he actually added copies of contracts in the book, in the fucking book, showing exactly what the government wanted done. Create this virus to do this. And he lectured about it. He's talked about it for years. I've had two copies of the book mysteriously disappear on me, but I've written about this and I've talked about this for a very long time. For everything else, we're not changing anybody's argument. All I'm saying, what we've been saying for the longest time, is that facts kill bullshit. When facts are put up, you know, incontrovertible facts, shit has to change. And in this case, it hasn't. And it hasn't because this is something that they want to see through. Whether it was from a disease like AIDS, whether it was from a disease like Ebola, COVID-19, MERS, SARS, any of those things, and even the so-called bird flu from the late 90s.
You know, Michael, last week we put a couple of these on the air.
Yes.
And there was a Facebook page posting in a video.
Yes.
This woman who was a doctor who worked with the immunology, right?
Yes.
She got fired and she got put in jail. Put in jail.
Yeah.
For telling the truth.
That's right.
Now, this week, Facebook removed that post. Not only that, but they scrubbed anybody who tried to promote this post.
Yeah.
Your show last week played part of the video. My show played the complete video. My show got edited out. Your show, fortunately, has the video.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, anyway.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is, you know, this really scares me when somebody can take out of your material without asking you, without telling you, and do it anyway.
Well, we need, not want, need to put this out there. And very often, folks will say shit and ignore it. I'm sorry?
No, I was trying to cue it up.
Okay. Yes, if you have that, please cue it up, brother.
Okay. I'm trying to see if I can get it back. get it on. Here we go. Okay.
What this taxpayer paid for, ever since that happened in the early 80s, it destroyed science, and this allowed the development of those conflicts of interest. And this is the crime behind letting somebody like Bill Gates with billions of dollars. Nobody elected him. He has no medical background. He has no expertise. But we let people like that have a voice in this country while we destroy the lives of millions of people.
Normalcy only returns when we largely vaccinated the entire global population. If we activate mandatory vaccines globally, I imagine these people stand to make hundreds of dollars that own the vaccines.
And they'll kill millions, as they already have with their vaccines. There is no vaccine currently on the schedule for any RNA virus that works.
So I have to ask you, are you anti-vaccine?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, vaccine is immune therapy, just like interferon alpha is immune therapy. So I'm not anti-vaccine. My job is to develop immune therapies. That's what vaccines are.
Do you believe that this virus was created in a laboratory?
I wouldn't use the word created, but you can't say naturally occurring if it was by way of the laboratory. So it's very clear this virus was manipulated. This family of viruses was manipulated and studied in a laboratory where the animals were taken into the laboratory. And this is what was released. Whether deliberate or not, that cannot be naturally occurring.
Okay, back in 1980, and when the AIDS virus,
yes,
these fools in Washington D.C. had the vaccination to cure the AIDS virus.
Wednesday's show, and of course we had a guest. We came off of that to deal with the guest and then the bulk of the show, but they removed, and fortunately I was able to download that episode before they did their removal. Otherwise it would have been gone on me as well. We wanted to make sure that that information got passed on. So we added it to the show, and obviously there was difficulty even getting online today, but I digress on that. The bottom line in this is that in information flow, it is all about what you know and what you can produce.
Yes.
A person like this, they have no axe to grind, other than the fact that their lives were ruined simply because they were trying to do their job. And that by itself is enough of a personal crime when you take people's careers and you tear them asunder because their agenda is not simpatico with yours. But make no bones about it. This isn't the first time. And somebody like Bill Gates, whatever you think of him, Microsoft or whatever the fuck else is, there is some shady shit going on. Behind all of that, which calls for questions that will never be asked to him because he is going to be a great white father / benefactor in the minds of many with all of this.
Well, Michael, what that would be is Bill Gates could say, the guy is green. Everybody would say, yeah, you're right, Bill. It's green.
That's right.
I can say the same thing. And people say, oh, crazy. See, this is the hypocrisy of this country.
Mm-hmm.
When you have money,
Tony McClain in the mix as well. But having him elected and allowing him to be the conduit for which the oligarchs were able to rip this country off and are still ripping this country off is the unwritten story. And Tony, if you remember, we started off Wednesday's show with that bit of audio that Gary produced, and all of a sudden it has disappeared. The only reason we were able to get that sprinkling out is because I downloaded the episode. But you know,
I've got it hidden somewhere, so no, it's not all the way gone. I made it a point to have a copy of it, but you know,
did you send me a copy? That's what I got to do.
I gotta. Put this way, you're on the list. You're on
there
the list.
There you go. Let me ask you this, Tony, because this has bothered me forever. I mean, we see shit like Three the Hard Way. We know it's a movie and all that other stuff, but we also know in the back of our mind that there's other things that indicate that, you know, this had to have a basis for existing in somebody's mind. It wasn't just the creative process doing this, because I don't have to think long and hard to know that they've been trying to kill us for a long fucking time, going all the way back to the Three-Fifths Compromise and how they see us. So, you know, it just makes me think about that old phrase, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Do you agree with this?
Oh, 1,000%. All you got to do is see the how the state of Georgia had to cover it earlier this week. Because, see, remember, if not for the release of the tape, it would have been just another nameless, faceless thing. And, see, that's the thing that always gets me about stuff like this. And again, it's not to poo-poo it. It's not to look the other way or what have you. But those are the ones that they're able to catch on tape. Think about all the ones over the years that haven't been put on tape.
Thank you.
There's a generation of black men, black women that have been terrorized that isn't on tape. One of the memes I saw earlier this week, the racism and the attitude hasn't changed. It's just now it's being recorded. That's the only difference now. This is just another thing in that. Cause see, here's the ultimate. Now the guy that actually taped the thing, he basically said, well, if he had just stopped, he would probably be alive.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the Simi Valley jury that said,
exactly.
Well,
if he had stopped moving,
they wouldn't have hit him. So
that's exactly right.
We can't equate our battles with anybody else. We have to go with what we've done, and you know. We have tried to form alliances with other quote unquote brothers and sisters in arms, but you know what? No, we can't, because when the time comes for them to be an ally for us, they're eating a sandwich. And
that's right.
And you know, that's the thing here. We can't form an alliance with anybody. We have to.
No.
It's crystal clear. Whenever something like this happens, we're on our own, no matter what, because
yep.
Someone will always try to justify the wickedness. Someone will
You're right.
always try to justify it. And there
yeah.
comes a time when you just have to be like, you know what? We got to start, you know, we need to strap for ourselves because,
yeah,
because again, you know, I'm not excited that they got arrested because what's going to, you know, I hate to, you know, they're going to get off. There's no doubt in my
mm-hmm.
mind. This is all going to play out, and they're going to find a loophole, or they're going to be exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any confidence at all in the judicial system in this. I think
well,
they're going to be
right. I think the father will get off, but the son's going to jail.
That's not good enough, Gary. That's not good
exactly.
enough.
Exactly.
That's not good enough. They both need to go to jail.
No, I understand.
I know what you're saying, but that's not good enough. Both of them committed
murder. I agree.
Both of them committed
yes,
murder. There is no split decision here. They're
no,
either going to jail.
Again,
preaching to the choir. They're going to get off. They're not.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
won't spend. Yeah. They won't spend a day in jail for this. And I hope I'm wrong, but we've done this dance way too many times. They're gonna
exactly.
the next phase is all of a sudden we're gonna find out that this kid
he was alcoholic or drug
addict. His character will be put on trial, and it
yes,
will be more
yes.
about
mm-hmm.
it will be more about the trial
yes.
of his character than
yes.
the and
exactly.
they will justify a man being killed. They will justify a black man being killed.
Murdered.
We
have seen it before. Yeah,
we
have seen it before.
Bubba will say, okay, let's move on.
Well, look, they've already,
yeah.
what is it? He's already got like a GoFundMe page that's raised over like $7,500 or something like that. Yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
scumbags.
Yeah.
Yo,
and all under the guise of a good Christian man. But you know, somebody, you know.
This is the kind of mindset, Tony.
I need to, go ahead, I'm sorry.
This is the type of mindset that they use to justify the movement of black people. Where you going, boy? And they said that above and below the Mason-Dixon line.
Exactly.
This reminds me of the death of James Byrd, who was dragged to death by two white motherfuckers in Texas. I remember the incident because Dennis Rodman, who grew up in that area and went to southeastern Oklahoma, paid for the man's funeral. And ESPN, like the rat soup eating motherfuckers they are, tried to jump into Rodman's shit. Like, what is he doing with this? None of your fucking business. The man showed empathy for somebody and paid for his funeral, and they tried to make it seem like Rodman was performing some publicity stunt. I never forgot that. And every one of those cocksuckers, and that includes the black ones especially,
let that shit go by.
They didn't say a fucking thing.
Look, we already seen earlier this week where the fat tub of goo, Mr. Whitlock, went after LeBron
mm-hmm.
for saying this was wrong. But again, he's doing his master's bidding and all this other stuff. And again, see, you know, Latrice Lumumba was right from day one. There's some of us, even though they may look like us, There's some of us that just need to be wiped off the damn face of the earth strictly because of how you want to hold yourself. And see,
that's true.
And look, I don't take any solace in that, you know, wanting to see another black man be killed. But you know what?
Of course.
At this point in time, right now, that's where we're at right now. Because
yeah, that's exactly right.
He's willing to sell his soul on the blood of other black men's and women's hands. Remember, this is the same guy that actually went after Vivian Stringer during the whole thing with Imus. The sad thing is. It's, you know, yeah, it's a race thing or whatever, but unfortunately, as you said, Mike, some of the worst offenders are folks that look just like us.
Most definitely. And what makes it even worse, if I can go back to the James Byrd thing, they knew from the time Rodman had paid for the man's funeral what had happened. They knew the details. And they attacked Rodman. Y'all can say whatever you want about that. Y'all can say what you want about Dennis Rodman, past, present, or whatever. But the bottom line was he showed humanity to somebody he didn't even know because he grew up in that area and he knew some of the shit that used to go on after sundown and behind closed doors at ESPN. Those motherfuckers actually sat there, prepared news shows, knowing shit like this, and they attacked this kid. All because he tried to do something decent. And what made it even worse, he didn't want anybody to know.
Exactly.
Somebody down in that area. It was a reporter down in the area passed the shit on the ESPN like he was trying to get a gold star for being a fucking snitch and passed on the fact that, listen to this nonsense. Fuck that noise. You know, this is why we don't like these motherfuckers. They're not journalists. They're sycophants. And people like Jason Hamhock and all the rest of these motherfuckers, they need to be wiped out. They need to fall through their own assholes and break their motherfucking necks because they are anathema to what black people are trying to do here with regard to fucking surviving and being treated like human beings. But I digress.
What's sad is that's the new norm now. I'll give you an example. Earlier, I think I told you, I was talking to you earlier in the week, when Don Shula passed, I made it a point to see, like, okay, let me see what NFL Network is doing. I figured, you know, a freaking icon dies,
right?
They should be all on it. And they had their signature show, Good Morning Football, on. Now, these four idiots, now to their credit, on the scroll, they have Shula passed away. But these guys are talking about what's trending on Twitter. This is they did not now turned it on. I found out about Shula passing away about a little after 10. I made it a point to turn it on to see what they were talking about. And they were talking about what was trending on Twitter. A freaking giant of the game has passed. And it's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. So I figured, you know what, and I did something I usually don't do. I went to the mouse, and I figured, okay, maybe they've got something on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there talking about the Dak and Dalton controversy.
No, for fuck's sakes.
I had to wind up going to CBS Sports. Let me finish. I had to wind up going to CBS Sports HD, and they actually had Hank Greenberg, one of the former Miami announcers. They had a player and what have you. Now, granted, later on in the evening, NFL Network, you know, they replayed all the America's games with his two championship teams, and they had one with the backfield, the Triple Crown backfield for the 72 team. But to me, it was like, you know, that's you know, it's almost like somebody said, hey, when the hell are you going to do something? When are you guys going to mention something about an icon that just died? You call yourself the NFL Network, and you're doing bullshit. And, you know, what's the one thing we hear about the mouse, you know, the worldwide leader in sports? Bullshit.
No shit, bullshit.
Now, buddy of mine was saying, well, look, man, they're not, you know, they appeal to a younger demographic, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be interested in what we're interested in. But see, then you know what? Then don't call yourself the fucking NFL Network. Then call yourself
the NFL Network
for twenty and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't call. You know,
Go ahead.
It's like.
I was going to say. No, the thing people forget is that the E in ESPN stands for entertainment. They could give a fuck
sports.
About sports
exactly.
or putting
yeah.
out actual sports journalism. They don't give a fuck about that shit. They have always laid their stock in trade in character assassination. They don't give a fuck about making sure
the entertainment and sports programming network. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what ESPN stands for.
We got Radio Reggie in the mix as well.
Get ready for Dr. Murray. Dr. Murray will be on my show talking about the COVID-19 and the African American community.
Yes, sir.
So I'll be on my way. Thank you, buddy. We can really come in with a while.
All right. That'll be the top of the hour. The Greater the Cove. 646-727-3649. COVID-19 and what's going on with black folks. And Reggie is in the mix. Reggie, can you hear me?
Beacons for the sense of justice, peace and blessing Africans. Can you hear me? Can you hear a black man okay?
Yes, sir.
Brothers in the struggle. You know, I don't know if you guys had a chance to see or hear the mighty Oprah Pat Fim interview with Craig Hodges. But I thought it was very enlightening. 2 points. Number one, Craig Hodges did, much like Kaepernick did, had African attire. If you go back to the YouTube with that White House meeting, the brother came in all white. Now, from the African attire, all white is what's normally worn at funerals. But I love the way the brother made sure that he was going to stand out. Number two, he didn't make a scene. He just walked up to Daddy Bush and just gave him a note. And the sad thing about it is that the Negroes, including Michael Jordan, could have stood up and said, Craig Hodges needs to be on the team or somebody needs to go ahead and pick him up. Now, thank God Tex Winters, when the brother was damn near broke, gave him a job with the Lakers, and they got two more rings. But that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
The main point I'm seeing is beautiful black man, and I do mean black man, in that All-Star game to finish 3-point title in some makeshift outfit, which to me was disgusting. This brother had every opportunity to be signed with a veteran and also with two championship rings behind him. And what really pissed me off is that, and Craig Hodges made an excellent point, Michael Jordan, in the beginning of that circus, talking about the Last Dance, said he walked up in the room and showed pictures of different players. Now, he could have made a statement. Now, this is why I need you brothers' help. They could have made a statement saying that he walked up in the hotel room, which you see many documentaries, and didn't show anybody's face. But they went out of their way to show faces of players. To me, if I'm the players, I'm suing Michael Jordan for defamation of character. If you can't prove I was in there doing drugs or drinking or doing anything, you besmirked my character, I'm suing your black ass. You got money, and I want some of it. Brothers, what do you think?
Well, how he'll able to get away with it is that he didn't actually name names. He just put he just put it out there that the team had guys that were on cocaine. So unless I watched it, he didn't name specific names. Now he did besmirch the entire team, which left it up to folks to look at the roster and what have you. But that's unfortunately that'll be how he'll be able to skirt a lawsuit because he didn't actually out and out name names.
Yes, that's right.
They show the picture of that team, but mm-hmm. he didn't specifically say so-and-so did this, so-and-so did this. If he had done that, then at least he was smart enough not to go out of his way to do. But it's still, I mean, yeah, I see what you are saying. It is slanderous, but unfortunately, it's slanderous to where, unfortunately, they won't be able to prove it. Unfortunately,
you're right. But that's the thing that bothers me, because they're producing this shit, knowing what they're into, what their intent is.
And
that's the thing. There's no filter.
Yeah, and they gave him, and clearly they gave him carte blanche in this. But see, even if you've been watching this, look, we all lived it. We all remember what the. So there's, I mean, it what we. To this, even in watching it, there isn't no, like, oh my God, moment here.
There is nothing.
We haven't learned anything new that we didn't already know about
mm-hmm.
about the Bulls of that era. I've said before, and see, again, Mike, this goes back to when the mouse wants to be journalist.
Yes.
And when they want to be entertainers. Now,
thank you.
I will always say some of the best work, probably the best work that comes out of that four-letter network are the 30 for 30s. Because
I agree.
The detail and they go into depth and everything to that effect. They do, you know,
mm-hmm.
it is pure journalism. That's the only thing of journalism that they actually do. Because they know that if they come out with some bullshit, then someone will take them. We'll take them to the cleaners. And basically, this is a 30 for 30 with steroids, basically, because they're dragging this out for the next, I guess, three more Sundays.
Hey, pretty girl, can you hear me?
And they're
I'm on my way home with your mom's phone. I called the house phone. I guess you didn't hear it.
Red, you're on the air, man.
I mean, real radio, y'all.
Yeah, but
if
like I said earlier in the week, they're gonna milk this like every cow in Green Acres.
Oh, God, Jim, someone's hitting the mute button. Sorry about that.
This is real
radio. Sorry about that.
Way too much information there, Mr. Sanford. Way too much information there.
No kidding.
I told them hard heads to get their own damn phone. They left it in my damn truck.
That's how it goes.
Well, on a serious tip, all this has shown is that even Michael Jordan can't miss the fact that the mouse has made him a fucking pariah with this series. You know, this is not meant to flatter Michael Jordan as it is to expose him.
I said that too.
And this dumb son of a.
The white boy told me on the radio, they say, well, Michael got money. He's not worried about this.
Well, see, you know what? But see, that speaks to their morals, because that's all they really care about. That it speaks to their morals.
Mm-hmm.
Because their morals.
Mm-hmm. The nigga got money. The nigga has money. The nigga has money, so everything is okay.
Exactly.
And
his mindset. Hold on. His mindset is no different than Jason Hamhock's mindset. He's willing to be a contrarian for his 30 pieces of silver. And Michael Jordan, he ain't playing no more. They gave him a fucking basketball franchise because he made them that much money. You know, I don't know about Michael Jordan's acumen as a general manager. I don't have to know. They gave him a fucking franchise, which at the time was worth $233 million. And they said, here, go play. We don't need you anymore.
What's
because
worth
they made that
worth
much
that?
Money.
It's probably
oh,
worth
maybe
more.
Twice
it's probably
that.
Worth more.
It's probably worth twice that now because
more.
It's in the
now,
mix.
Now, I was saying, when they sold the Clippers and everything, everybody got a piece of that $3 million, $3 billion pie. Not million, but $3 billion pie. So that's why
that's
we
right.
think the team is worth now.
That's new math. The franchise, the Clippers, was worth $12 million when Donald Sterling bought it. And it was purchased for over $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to be a math major to know they made a couple of bucks off that shit. And the fact that, in spite of the fact...
What's that, Mike, about 200%?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What was that,
about 250% kickback on top of it.
Yeah.
To get it to be purchased for $2 billion. I mean, I would like to see an investment like that manifest on my bank account, but I digress. But we have to look at the fact that the Charlotte Bobcats, whatever fucking cats they call them, house cats, I don't give a fuck. They've only made one playoff appearance since Michael bought the franchise, or since they gave him the franchise. They're still good to be worth about $500 to $600 million, which is more than he got when he bought the team.
Hey,
but
nobody took the Washington Bullets. Right, but when he was with the Washington Wizards, what do you think the Wizard franchise is worth right now?
Reg, it's immaterial, because right now, if any of those teams go on the market, they're going to double. They're going to double because
my question is, you remember how? I can't think of the owner that passed. A. Polian. Fired Michael, Michael was trying, I guess, get a piece of that action, and they was like, "Nah, you can't have none of this." Now think about this, gentlemen. The Washington Wizards franchise in Washington, and if Michael could have got a piece of that action, I think the franchise would have been worth way more than what the Charlotte franchise is worth. Just my opinion.
Reggie, that's the reason why Michael Jordan is a pariah now. Because I don't give a fuck if it's Michael Jordan. I don't care if it's Magic or Kareem or LeBron, even though he is the cash cow. The bottom line is, they don't want these brothers to get any of that. Do you really think they would sell a piece of the Knicks to Patrick Ewing? Hell no. You know, this was the lowest end of the scale, and they gave it to Michael because they didn't give it to him out of the goodness of their heart. They gave it to him out of fucking guilt because he made so much money, and he would have almost turned the NBA upside down, because when the gambling scandal hit, Stern told him to get the fuck out. Because things were going to point back to the league not being on top of it, and they couldn't explain their way out of it. So they told Michael, go play baseball for a fucking year. But the bottom line was that scandal would have affected everything.
You think when Michael went to court and that check came up, if he had paid him cash and that check would have came up, you think that was the damage right there when they said the feds had that check on that cocaine dealer?
Fuck yeah. They could have drew any conclusion they wanted. The bottom line was Michael was
toxic
because of his gambling.
Here's the thing also with that. They wouldn't have been able to spin it to their advantage without having some blood on their hands. They could have very easily, you know, sort of thrown him under the bus. But see, and maybe I'm naive. I don't think the league actually suspended him or what have you for the quote unquote retirement. Because put it this way. What people do forget in all of this, he lost his dad. And I still also don't think that his dad had anything to do with the – I don't think his dad's death had anything to do with his gambling or whatever. End of the day, I think his gambling stuff, while you could make a lot out of it, I think in a way it was sort of small potatoes, because let's be honest, guys. If you think he's the only guy in the league that's plopping down money like that, and again, this was long
before. He's the only guy that could afford it.
Remember, the NFL, the NBA, most players, that's the highest of all the leagues. That's the one where the players, there's guys sitting on the this guy is sitting on the bench making, you know, seven digits.
Exactly.
But
yep,
see,
yeah, that's
but,
exactly
and all
right.
due respect, with Michael endorsements and everything, like they said on the Last Dance, Paxton there were up in the front playing for dollars. Mike and them playing for thousands. He come up the front and said, Mike, what are you doing up here? So I want to play your game. He said, we ain't got no money like that. He said, yeah, but I want to let you know after I beat you, your money's in my pocket. I don't care if it's $1.50. I want your money.
But
see,
you
that's
know
my
what?
Thing is.
But Reg.
That's a bigger problem.
Even Paxton and them low-end guys were probably making more money than your top
exactly.
players, Major League Baseball, NFL,
we're,
and definitely NHL at the time. And again,
we're talking
yeah,
about,
this was
Tony,
all,
we're talking about the fact that it's not the gambling, it's the kind of gambling.
Oh,
if you're a $2 bettor, or you mm-hmm. bet $100, you know, on the plane playing cards or something like that, that's nothing. That's not
Absolutely.
The kind of shit that's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Michael Jordan was spending so much money; he was out of control, like some gamblers are. And
yeah,
the only difference between Michael, the only difference between Michael and Art Schleister. Was that Michael could afford his habit. He bet his way out the fucking NFL.
That's my issue. You just proved my point, Mike. He could afford, with all his endorsements and
Nike
and everything, he could afford to drop that big money. The average
mm-hmm.
person couldn't
yeah.
afford it. I mean, what, $10,000 to him is like me throwing a dollar away. $1 million to him, and that check for $55,000. If he could have got a bank to cash $55,000 check and gave him cash, they wouldn't have had no money trailing him. But when that guy showed up with that check for $55,000, all hell broke loose and they had a paper trail.
I have to say this, and I'm not trying to be a slimmed down version of Jason Hamhock, but Michael Jordan is one stupid motherfucker. I don't want to be like Mike. There are people
Thank you.
That we saw today standing in fucking line for his fucking shoes for hours.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't want to be like Mike because Mike put himself on full display, and you see,
uh-huh.
it's not just his flaws, but you see where he fucked up, and he doesn't even realize that he fucked up.
Well,
I remember
well,
his speech when he.
Let's look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods said, "Hey, can you delete my number out of your phone? My wife found it." I mean, Tiger was like a 12-year-old kid, and mom and dad caught him in a cookie jar. Look at the stupid shit he did. Look at the amount of money he got screwed from. So this is not surprising to me. These guys make stupid mistakes. You see it all the time.
No.
Ain't nothing new.
No.
Because they didn't cater
no,
to.
No, they make. No, this is different in one. This is different in one distinct respect. Tiger's playing an individual sport. Michael's playing a team sport. And on top of all of this, there are other personalities that mesh in this that he either gored reputation-wise or he gored for the sake of the fact that in his mind they weren't as important because he was the game. He knew he was being protected by the league. Anybody thinks that Michael Jordan wasn't protected by the league, they're out of their
damn
mind. Because he was making everybody money.
Right. But in all due respect, when it comes to Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods had all those endorsements, all those corporate sponsors behind him. And when he got out there
on the
pretty blonde head, Tiger.
And Jordan didn't?
No,
yeah,
I'm just saying that in all due respect.
Jordan.
I'm just saying both of them are equally flawed. That's why I say when it came to that damage in corporate America, they had them like the O.J. Simpson, the perfect model. These guys not causing no controversy, making us money. They are the cash moo cow. Then when they
yeah,
fucked
they
up,
are,
all
exactly.
of a sudden, damn, they messed
the
brand
exactly
up.
Right.
That's
right.
My point.
And see, the funny thing is they're still trying to put LeBron in that box, and they can't.
No, he
mm-hmm.
didn't do it. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's his own
well,
man. That's why they're so mad.
He's not. Well, he's been his own man since he came into the league. But their efforts to continually go at him don't stop. I mean, LeBron
yeah.
can say that what was done to that young man in Georgia was disgusting, and they should be looking at it and all of this. And what are they going to tell him? You're wrong for saying what you're saying. You forget that one thing
Thank
that ESPN
you.
Did
all during this madness is that when somebody tried to speak up for someone, they went after them. The Chris Henry yep. thing, the ex-wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, was a perfect example of that. They lambasted yep. this kid. And then when he dies in a car accident where he's probably when he's allegedly run over by his girlfriend or pushed out of the car or falls
yeah.
out of the car, whatever the fuck
yeah,
the situation
in the pickup
is.
Truck. Yeah, back in the pickup
they
truck.
Do some piece of, they do some piece about how, well, he's helping everyone because his pieces are being used to save people's lives as organ transplants and all that. Like, fuck you. You
yeah.
didn't give a fuck about this young man. You were ready to lambaste his black ass, and now all of a sudden you're trying to make him out to be a martyr because some idiot fucking production told you to do stuff.
They want to do it both ways. They want to, they, you know,
yeah.
cradle, little,
yep.
literally cradle to grave. That's how they want to be
yep.
able to, that's how they want to be
yes.
able to, you know, do this from cradle to grave.
And that's why I'm glad the ESPN got a hit of what's going on. They had to fire half their people and take the salary reduction. And ever since that they tried to step in and go after the black athlete, they done got screwed. So they deserve what they get.
Well, luckily, now there's more. There's, and thankfully, a lot of folks realize what the mouse is, and there are
oh, yeah.
There are other entities now. Unfortunately,
yeah.
a lot of these other entities are just as bad, if not worse, than the mouse.
Oh man.
You know?
That one, I guess, American Raider, whatever the hell that piece of shit is, they are 10 times worse.
Well, they're all, look, again.
Yeah, we know Fox is fucked up, so I don't even put Fox in there.
Well, but no, you have to, unfortunately, because they spawned a lot of these other ones. I've actually had a chance to catch very little bit of the new Black News channel. It seems like it's
It's actually on.
I actually caught it on on the IPTV thing that I have. I would like to have caught it more, but it keeps going in and out. I can't get it on for more than five or so minutes. But the little
bit of
time,
you need to know about it.
See, a lot of that is because, see, I'm also one that think that it's because they dare to call themselves black, somebody's going to try to mess with it and make it so that you just literally make it so that you can't, you know, able to watch
yeah.
it. But that's a whole other story
exactly.
in and of itself. But
yeah.
that, but
well, they got J.C. Watts there, Mr. Conservative. They're able to help him out.
Yeah,
I'm saying that
tongue
in cheek. Hey, T, I'm saying that tongue in cheek.
Yeah, well, see, I don't, you know, put this way, I can't really tell from the. I mean, I haven't even had like a taste of what it is, and just the little bit that I have seen, it's like it's okay. It's all right. I'd like to be able to sit and watch it for like about a week or so, if I could get a
mm-hmm.
chance to see more about it. But it doesn't help that you literally have to go to Helen Hunt to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's hurting them now because some of the main players have been fired or quit already early stage. So something's not right. Something stinks in the cot.
Yeah.
Well, something's not right from the fact that in the formative stages of that thing, somebody thought that they would just jump all over and be happy that, oh, we got our own channel. You know, this is bullshit. No. Black people have more sense than that. And if it doesn't have any credibility, nobody's going to fucking watch it. And they just assume, you know, here's this little shiny object. You black folks, you niggas can go right on ahead and enjoy it. And, you know, we'll make money off the revenue. It doesn't work mm-hmm. like that. This ain't the 50s. And because it ain't the 50s, you better come with something a little more stronger than that. And they don't, because they really believe, from a mentality standpoint, that we're inferior. And it just works my last nerve to think that they thought they could get away with this. And these are supposed to be smart people. They got degrees and all this other shit. But they have no common fucking sense. One thing my mother told me I didn't have when I was growing up. But it doesn't leave the room that when they sit down and do this shit, they never ask the question, who does this benefit? It doesn't benefit black people across the board. If a handful of niggas get a little bit of money to them, that's mission accomplished, because all they care about is making money. They can't give a fuck about black people or anything that we fucking do. All they care about is making the money, and if they could be famous in the midst of it all, that's gravy to these sons of bitches.
Yep, yep, pretty much. And see, you know, the sad thing is we're, because of our history of spending all sorts of money on anything and everything, like you said, Mike, they don't try to put any qualities into it. They put it up literally up there as a shiny new ball. And go from there. And like I said, I can't get, you know, from the little bit that I've watched, I cannot gauge good, bad, or indifferent. The little bit that I watch, I'm like, you know, I don't see anything where it would be like earth shattering or what
exactly.
Have you. Yeah. And that's very troubling, especially now. Because,
yes.
As you've said several times, we can't do mediocre. We can't.
No.
We can't afford to do mediocre.
And you would think that, and that, see, you can't blame white people for that shit. You
exactly.
Can't blame people for white shit. You can't blame white folks for that shit because we know better. We all grew up with our parents putting our feet in our ass if we didn't get good grades. We knew that there were people who were looking out for us that even weren't our parents. They say, you better keep your ass on the straight and narrow. All of that shit. We all experienced it at some degree or another. Don't you half-step. All of us who played sports, we know. We don't half-step. When we're out there playing against those fucking white kids who were saying stupid shit and calling us nigger, that when the scoreboard said that we won, and they go, oh, good game. Yeah, fuck you. Because we knew what was up. This was more than just a fucking sport. It was more than just us doing our normal thing. The entertainers that have graced our stage. We just did a huge tournament, lauding all the black groups and whatnot who helped us keep our humanity with beautiful music and the way they performed. We know they were great. They knew they were great. Society may not have given a fuck, but they knew. They gave us a standard to shoot for, whether they were musicians, physicians, artists, you know, intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't say that our path is not dictated by excellence from people that we
mm-hmm.
emulated and we loved?
And that's what makes a day like today so painful, when we lost two giants like Andre Harrell and Little Richard. Because
yes,
those, because they were part of that excellence. They were
exactly.
part of that excellence. Without Little Richard, you don't have an Andre Harrell.
Little Richard, you don't have rock and roll either.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, I don't mean to drift off, but
please,
I'm in the middle of flurries here in Connecticut. It's flurries.
Snow.
I'm gonna ask you what the weather like. Y'all supposed to be getting snow up there, ain't you, T?
It's flurrying. I mean, It's not gonna stick. And it's not like we got to close up the state, you know, for the next 65 days or what have you.
I don't know, bro. You
but,
might have
no,
a pandemic,
no, no,
and
no,
I have
no,
a shortage.
No, trust. I was getting my car fixed, and I'm out trying to get that squared away now. But it's
hey, smart move.
It's the day before. It's the day before Mother's Day, and it's fucking snowing in May. You know what?
It ain't like nobody going out.
Please wait. Somebody said, but still. Somebody, the best thing I saw on Facebook today was, I'm driving to 2021. Anybody else wanted to come with me?
Hello. Hey, that's funny, but I can understand what they're saying. That's funny, but I can understand it. But just be honest, global science has been telling everybody that global warming is real. You got the money people that don't want to believe it, and Mother Nature is telling us right now, I'm in control, not you guys, and I can show you better. I can tell you.
But hey, y'all go, you know, y'all go back and get your, you know, y'all keep going out. Make sure you get your hair cut and get back to work.
Get your feet done and get your ass Jordans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when they put your lifeless body into the gurney, we'll be able to say, well, at least the economy's all right.
Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And don't think them
you
numbers ain't being
up.
Squashed. Them numbers are 10 times worse than what they're telling you.
Oh, man, please. Remember, 26 million had to file for unemployment, man.
Thanks,
that's right.
It's worse than the depression.
26 million.
Yeah.
I mean, don't even worry. What is it? We've already lost more people with this than we did in the entire Vietnam War.
Yeah. Hey, but
yep.
Guys, help me understand something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm boo-boo the fool. But I still say that both parties are involved in this because the way Clinton ran her campaign.
Yes, they are. You're right.
Just hear me real quick. Just quick 30 seconds. The way Hillary ran her campaign was disgusting. She said, fuck getting black votes. I can go to Ellen and get the black female vote. She ran it terrible. And then you had all these people on both sides of the fence made all kind of money at the stock market. And now you even see the white nationalists have risen to a point now where not only are they in the police department, but they're in the Justice Department and in the White House. And ain't a damn thing being done. And then the cracker got nerve to sit back and say, 45, well, I've seen the film, it's horrific, but, you know, I'm sure that the police will get to the bottom of it, and I'm sure the truth will come out. I'm like, oh, my God.
Reg, what do you expect? Did you really expect
him to
have
a... He should
have
shut the hell up. He shouldn't have said a damn thing.
But,
I mean, it's political.
Reg. He ain't shut the hell up from day one. What the hell makes you think he's going to shut up now?
I know.
Exactly.
It just... I had my lemon moment. I had my John Lemon moment for a minute.
look, and even him having his come to Jesus moment, then because see, if you're still like asking questions after all these last 3-4 years. Then you just haven't
yeah.
been paying attention. Play a simple.
You
he just haven't
yeah.
been paying attention.
I agree.
I mean, he's as predictable. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. He's as predictable as an S.D. Jones wrestling match. You know what the hell he's going to say. You know what
he's going to happen.
And what have you. And for folks still get upset that, I can't believe he said that. Well, well, you know what? Allow me to put your head from your asshole if you haven't been paying attention the last 3-4 years. And see, again,
I agree.
I agree. Of course it's both parties. It's not, look, I've said this a bunch of times. When I first voted, I was a Democrat. But then when I realized that both parties ain't shit, I became
Thank
an
you.
Independent. None of them
exactly.
ain't.
Exactly.
You know, see, look.
Exactly.
How can you talk all this bullshit about Joe Biden all of a sudden and then kiss the fattest part of his ass now?
Say James Clyburn
exactly.
of South Carolina, how he went to the trough and kissed the ring and said, okay, niggas, come out and support. Time to change everything. And just like Nancy Pelosi when she attacked
and
the squad.
You,
just not forget
and to
that.
And to show you just how bad it is, and I know this is going to offend folks, but I don't fucking
Please
care.
Please do.
Now all of a sudden this Me Too woman is like, oh, Joe's all right.
You saw that too? No, he's right. He's right. You saw that too. It shows you. You showed you, and I'll say it just like Chris Rock said it. Niggas ain't shit. Black folks get affected by all of it. And Cat Williams said it too. The bitch ass niggas are spoiling it for the real niggas. All they're saying is that we'll give up our credibility in a New York minute if the price is right. Ted DiBiase was right. Everybody has a fucking
price. Yep. And then P. Diddy don't help himself when he came out with his big mouth talking about, I'm going to hold the vote hostage. First of all, he didn't come
you
with your agenda. Second of all he's doing is just trying to get people to pay you 2 seconds of attention.
You know what? How's he going to hold the vote hostage?
Thank you.
How are you gonna hold them? That's my first question. How are you gonna hold them hostage?
Exactly.
You can't even do that.
Exactly.
Right. But you gonna hold the vote
hostage? Exactly. Well, how dare you have
all the shit he done did?
How dare you have the hubris? How dare you have the hubris to say, I control all these niggas and they'll do what I say, so you'll have to come through me.
but you're not even brokering in good faith. You're not offering tangibles to folks and saying, we need these things. I'm speaking up for them. I'm their mouthpiece. And if you do these things, then we can get this. No, you're not operating in good faith.
Nope.
You're operating the pan of your own ego.
You're trying to be a kingmaker. You're trying to make plans to benefit yourself.
Reg is worse. He's trying to be like Mr. Beyonce.
Oh, Lord.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I forgot about Beyonce. She's been quiet.
But Tony's right. Dave, he infiltrated this level of society and came up like a bitch. And because he did that, he hurt everybody.
Yep.
You know?
Sure. Yep.
Listen, we've seen black men and women make a stand in certain aspects of situations that affected society as a whole, and none of them ever flinched. Fannie Lou Hamer, never flinched. Adam Clayton Powell, good or bad, he never flinched. All of these people who stood up, for everyone that stood up, there were 10 that said, fuck this, I'll take the money. And that's what bothers me.
And Mike, unfortunately, they all wind up being another Deke O'Malley.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's the sad part.
That's exactly right.
And they'll take
care of
thousands when they done made billions off of everybody. And right now, the white supremacist 45 is looting our war chest. That's for our Social Security. That's for our plan. He's looting.
Think about it. They're gonna try to make it out like you're not entitled to your own money.
That's exactly right.
Now every one of these motherfuckers have had money handed to them hand over fist. We, our ancestors and our ancestors' ancestors, worked their ass off for that money, but some entitled rich assholes will tell you, oh no, you're not entitled to that money.
Yep.
You didn't do anything to earn that money.
Yep. And they go damage the stock market to make sure you don't get your stock market money.
But see, here's the dumb thing. The dumb white trash that keeps voting for them will buy into it. And then the minute they find out, hey, wait a minute, you took my money. And see, here's the thing. They can't blame Obama for that.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there you
try,
go.
Though.
No. I'm infuriated in the sense that this is continuing. And that's why I don't give a shit about my voice right now, but I'm infuriated that this is continuing because some people just think that shit got better. No, shit has gotten far worse, and Tony is 1,000% right. You know, all of this nonsense has come about because there's been an atmosphere in which enabling has been the order of the day. And regardless of what crazy shit that son of a bitch in Pennsylvania Avenue does, there are others who benefit from it. And that's
Absolutely.
What bothers me most, Tony.
Absolutely. To me, I love the fact that some of these that a lot of these white trash folks is having buyer's remorse, because you thought you actually thought that just because in a way they're finding out what us as black folks found out about Obama, just because he's our color, just go he you know every brother ain't a
he ain't on our side
but see. They've just shown even more how ignorant, because, see,
yes,
even we know that Trump, that the first people he was going to go after was the very people that was putting him in office, because that's how he's always
exactly.
been. He's always been
answer.
That way, you know?
Yes.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's you know, but see, again, and then everybody wants to be so damn surprised or so...
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he did that.
Exactly.
And it becomes a thing of, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't do this. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Exactly.
I'd rather watch old Mets and Knicks games than have to go through that bullshit again.
I know that's right. But you brought it up, and we got to say this before we go on off the air. You know, Richard Penniman, Little Richard, was an icon, and he changed music. He was an innovator. And he was the one who coined the phrase that rhythm and blues had a baby, and they called it rock and roll. This bullshit where white folks try to soften it and call white bands purveyors of classic rock and all this other horse shit, everybody forgets. R&B, real rock and roll, was the shit that came up in the 50s with the Bird groups, with doo-wop, with the other bands from the 40s who did jump blues like Wynonie Harris and Ray Brown and stuff like that. That was rock and roll. All this other horse shit when Bill Haley and the Comets do Rock Around the Clock, all they're doing is copying Harrison Brown and Louis Jordan and stuff like that. They don't want to give credit where credit is due, and we know that's no surprise. But Little Richard was for real. Even with what he did on stage, they couldn't deny him. In many ways, he's like one of my icons, James Baldwin. Like, I could give a fuck if James Baldwin was gay. James Baldwin was a gay writer, and he was a great writer, and he understood the essence of being black in this fucking country. Little Richard, he could have called himself the Georgia Peach or whatever the fuck he was. I loved it because he was different. He was an innovator, and he didn't give a fuck after a while. He finally made peace with himself in that regard. And whatever you are, you have to be who you are. Otherwise, people will never understand the depth of your struggle. That's why Baldwin was always cool with me, because I don't give a fuck. He's pissed off, I'm pissed off, and we're pissed off for the same reason. He's able to write about it, and I want to one day be able to write like him. That's what mattered to me. And Bill Richard took his own path with music, and he finally got to where he needed to get to, with no help, by the way, from white folks.
And it's funny because, you know, it's sad that there's going to be a generation of folks that all they're going to know him is that old man that used to keep ranting and raving at their award shows. But he was much more than that. He was much, much more than that. But see, again, it goes back to who's telling the story. You know, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. If Bugs Bunny is packing, Elmer Fudd is a dentist with a bad list.
Elmer Fudd he's pushing up daisies for real. That's right.
Exactly. At the very least.
Well, before we go, I have to flip back to this whole Jordan thing. Because, Tony, you know, you've been there in the belly of the mouse. You've seen this whole thing form over years, even after you left. Is this not clarification of just how far ESPN has gone to punish him because of his own transgressions, and he really can't say anything? It's like he's a captive audience as they produce this.
And see, here's the thing. He actually wrote his own epitaph in this.
Yep, dumbass.
Because you can tell that they allowed him to, you know, have free, because that's the reason why. Because see, to me, like I said, the hardest thing, the fact that it's not even mentioned, or I mean, not even a side mention at all, not even a mention at all, just lets me know exactly, you know, what goes on here, what doesn't go on here. But again, it just they're treated, you know. They're staying true to their nature. They're gonna milk this for the next three, four Sundays, and they'll get all sorts of, you know, ratings, and they'll probably win some sports Emmys. Because see, again, when they're forced to actually be journalists, they can actually do a good job, which is what makes me so mad, is that you do this all the time, not just for when it suits you. Because see, when they do these 30 for 30s, it suits them. But see, but it also shows you that they had the ability to report, and they chose not to.
Yes.
And to me, that's
exactly right.
Because you can't, you know, all of the stuff, all the archive stuff with the interviews and the whatevers, everything is, you know, maybe not all of it, but the majority of everything comes from their own productions, from their own, you know, from their own, you know, bullshit, and that's the paradox, because as a 30 for 30, you know, just on its own level, like I said, I like the way that they, because in a sense, you can't tell the story of the last season without telling the stories of the other previous ones. So in that game, they tell a great story. But again, they're not telling you the whole story. They're only telling you what he allows and what he allowed them to whatever.
Yeah.
And he allowed, and it just shows you how he allowed himself to be manipulated. But it's still funny to me that he still doesn't get it about the whole Republicans buy sneakers too.
Mm-hmm.
It really is funny that he still doesn't get that. But I again, it speaks more about Kafee. I will say one thing about this: as much hell as we give the mouse in this, a lot of this speaks more of Jordan than it does of the mouse. Because with the mouse, you know what you're getting.
Exactly. Oh, you know you're so right on that, because you have to ask the question: who's his friends? Who's in Michael's circle of friends? I ain't talking about teammates. I ain't talking about motherfuckers he bets money with or whatever, or gambles with or plays cards with. Who are his friends? We got the vibe with Ali that even though Joe Frazier, you know, may have had issues with him, and eventually it caught up when he said, stop calling me grilling on another shit, and Ali had to apologize. Mm-hmm. He was friendly towards Ali. You know, they looked at each other like, okay, how are we going to work this as human beings and stuff like that? I don't get the feeling that Michael ever had any friends. Anybody who would consider his main boy.
The more and more I look at this person that I can really compare him to right now is retired Joe DiMaggio. And Joe DiMaggio, as you know, Joe DiMaggio, he had two careers, basically. He had a career as being the ball player, and then he had the career of being Joe D. And like, you know, we were talking the other night, you know, in regards to the whole Aaron and Mays,
greatest living ball player nonsense.
You got to remember, he went, you know, DiMaggio always had to be introduced as the greatest living ball player. He made it a point to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He had a circle of friends. Well, I take it back.
His circle of associates,
really. You almost have to say associates, because he didn't really have any friends.
No.
And it's weird, you know who he may have been the most loyal to of all, when you really sit back and think about it? Marilyn Monroe. Because think about it. If there's anybody that could have written an all expose on Marilyn, it would have been Joe. But he never did
that.
That's
true. Yeah.
And now, he also never allowed anybody to fully embrace him as well. Because Joe spent basically, after his ball playing days were over, basically Joe spent the rest of his life molding his legacy, literally, like a mad scientist. And I get the feeling that's what's going to be what's going to wind up happening with Michael. Now, I will always give him his due as a player. I still don't think he's the greatest of all time. I will argue Wilt Chamberlain. I will argue Magic Johnson. But that's another argument for another day. But I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you know me. I always like to use history as my argument. And again, the more and more I see how this thing plays out. He's Joe D. He's Joe DiMaggio. He's going to carve out his legacy for the rest of his life, and he's going to make he's the one. He's going to be the one that because have you ever seen his Hall of Fame enshrinement speech?
I never saw the speech, but I was thinking about what you said, and I remember 61 and how Michael Nouri
played DiMaggio and how stoic and stone-faced he was. And the scene where Manolin Maris, Barry Pepper, and Thomas Jane were sitting there talking about him and how his influence was all that and how Manna was affected by the fact that DiMaggio would just say, oh, yeah, that's the kid, hi. You know, he really wouldn't recognize him because he's supposed to be the big dog in the pound.
Well, he was replacing him. He was replacing him. He was replacing him. Because, see, here's the thing. DiMaggio was part of that isosceles triangle with the Yankees. He, Gehrig begat DiMaggio, which begat Bobby, you know, and so on and so on. So he was part of that link, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was always told by one of my family members, you know, he was one of the reasons why it took so long for Eddie Howard to get called up, because he never wanted to play with a black ball player. Now, I don't know how true that was, but I, you know, I would put it this way. If he treated Mantle the way he did, I can imagine how he would have treated a black ball player. Because remember, to bring that full circle, you know, he's from San Fran. And when the Giants moved from San Fran, the San Francisco fans did not embrace Willie because, like, hey, you ain't even as good as
Joe
DiMaggio.
Right.
I was like, what?
Exactly.
Excuse you?
He's Kevin Reno. Exactly. No, that's exactly right.
The more and more I think about it, Michael, I'm going to have to start calling him Michael DiMaggio. The Chicago Clipper.
It's a great comparison because it definitely personifies both of them in similar light. And, you know, what's missing is they're relegated to a character. They're not human beings. We all knew Ali was the champ. We all knew, though, that Ali was a human being. You don't get the vibe that Michael's humanity will ever come forth because of everything that's happened to him. And now with all this other shit, it's even worse. He is truly the guy. He's in that bubble, like that old movie, The Boy in the Bubble. He's in that bubble. He can't extricate himself out of that shit.
And even The Boy in the Bubble is like, damn, what's your fucking problem?
Exactly. Even The Boy in the Bubble got better than he does. But you're so right. And before we close out and move over to the Cove, this is Mother's Day. You know that both our moms are on the other plane and whatnot. You know, you have any words for Mom?
This is always a tough time because this was around the time, because see, when she was ailing, we collectively was like, just give us one more Mother's Day and whatever happens afterwards, you know, well, whatever. Well, we were lucky enough that, you know, she survived one more Mother's Day, and then literally a week later she was gone. So Mother's Day is always a little tough time for me, but I always look at it as, you know, I look at it more just to in remembrance, and, you know, especially considering all that we're going through right now, I'm sort of glad that she's not here, having to have to go through all of this. Considering, because I don't know how she would have done with the pandemic. Now she's, you know, she spent pretty much a lot of time at home, but I think even this would have been really, really, really rough on her. But yeah, you know, there isn't a day that I don't think about my ma. And, you know, my ma had a lot to do with how I got into sports, because she was the one that allowed me to stay up those certain nights to watch sporting events, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole situation was, you just make sure your ass gets up the next morning for school. That was her, you know, she said, I don't mind you staying up, but when I come in there, I'm going to come in here once to get you to get up. The second time I come in here, I'm coming for that ass. So, so yeah, it was, you know, so it was what, you know, And it's certain, and it's certain times when I think of her, and it's funny because I don't mean to go too long-winded. SNY this week, Monday through Friday, showed all five games of the 69 World Series. And no, I didn't watch them all, but I had to watch last night because last night was the, you know, last night, you know, they showed the clincher. And
yes,
it reminded me of when I was very, very young when the Mets won that World Series. I was 7 years based. I was seven, 8 years old. But I remember, but watching that, it reminded me of just, I mean, you know, the fact that all the games were played during the day, that just shows you how things have changed over the years in regard to that. And also early on this week was the 50th anniversary of the Willis Reed game. And, you know, yeah. So, you know, the memories always, there's always memories of that. And I can't help but think of my, of both my folks, but probably more so my mother, at times. But yeah, I would tell anybody, if you're lucky enough to still have your mother and your father still in your life right now, you know, especially during this, and it shouldn't take this pandemic for you to whatever, but, you know, appreciate that fact, because so many of us have that void where we would just, I mean, I you know, I would love to look down on my phone and see that I'm getting a call from mom or getting a call from dad.
Boy, you ain't lying.
If you're still able to do that, then you're richer than any man in the world, or any man or woman in the world.
You're so right, brother. And for all the moms that have been in our lives, all the mother figures, because that mom thing is powerful stuff. I know I lost mine on my birthday in 1990. And people stepped up. It wasn't like I was looking for them. People stepped up, whether it was my friend at the time's mom, Willa Mae Simmons, whether it was when I got to Vancouver, Linda Chase, whether it was Elizabeth Humbuchen, who passed away earlier this year. There was always somebody there, as if guardian angels were passing stuff over to, like, look out for me to make sure I did what I did so I could be who I could be. That mom thing is powerful. There's nothing like it. And you know, the day doesn't go by where at some point you wish mom was still here to share a meal or just sit back and watch TV with a cup of tea or whatever the hell it is. You know, that thing is so powerful. And if you are lucky to still have your mom around, you are one blessed human being.
Absolutely.
So on that note, I'm going to finish drinking this tea and carry on and get over to the Grey Leopard Cove, 646-727-3649. Before I go, got to leave this one with you because it seems like no matter what the season, this level of chaos, this level of fascism that is influencing everything that's around us, it's reminding us that it definitely is not springtime out here.
From the Indians, welcome the pilgrims, and to the buffaloes, who once ruled the plains. Like the vultures, circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain, looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills know it's winter. Winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul. Lord knows from winter in America. The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, the struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is a ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. It's looking like he's hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops. They're watching last-ditch races marching across the floor. But just like the peace signs that vanished in our dreams, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. Now it's winter. Winter in America. And all of the healers have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Lord knows it's winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul from a winter in America.
As well as our show tomorrow night at 9. We'll give the mom some well-deserved love. And Monday, Gary will follow up with another special Mother's Day show. So we recognize, Mom, we love you. We will never forget you. And we appreciate that your spirit looks out over us. For all of us here at the tree, you're taking it over to the Great Leopard Cove weekend. Go safe.
Be safe, stay safe, and hug your mom if you're blessed enough to have one while you're still here. Ciao.